We need to be thankful every day that God gives us. Amen? And if you don't believe that God wakes us up every day, as my good brother in Tennessee would say, take your alarm clock to the graveyard and see how well that works. God indeed gets us up every single day, and I'm very thankful for that. And with that in mind, how many of you like to be healthy? Do you like to be healthy? Feel good? Yeah, we like to be healthy. We like to be healthy people. We can get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? You know, and we all, you know, sometimes we'll use the car analogy. We want to be running on all cylinders. We want everything firing and everything running right, just like it should be. But I want to ask you a question. Down here in the South, this is a pretty common thing. Have you ever been by a junkyard and noticed the cars all covered up with kudzu vines? You ever seen that? Things just all covered up. And the only thing that's given the kudzu shape is you can tell that there's some cars in there because of the way those vines have grown over everything. Now, the junkyard is certainly not a well-kept garden. But there's growth there. How about that? There's growth there. It's just not the kind of growth that we think is good. And we see that kudzu will cover up those cars and leave them in such a mess. And I must admit to you that in my spare time, I spend a little time watching a channel on the networks that's called Velocity. And there I look specifically for a couple of shows. One of them is Chasing Classic Cars, and the other one is Graveyard Cars, and I see some guys nodding, and yeah, there's plenty of other ones on that channel where they take cars that were just, they were buried in those kudzu vines, they were dust covered in barns, they were rusting away in fields, they look like a hopeless mess, and they take those cars and they restore them to like new. Now folks, we're sitting here today, and whether you feel like, I'm going to make an engine analogy here, whether you're a two-stroke engine, a four-banger, a slant six, or a V8, nobody wants to be weak and lackluster. Everybody wants to be running at full power. Amen? So with that thought in mind, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this idea of how to grow a healthy church. And that's not something that's a mystery, by the way. We find the answer to everything that we need within God's Word. And God wants His church to be healthy. And He's given us instruction on how to do that. Now, there are a lot of things that go into making a healthy church. And unless you wanted me to preach unto midnight, we're just going to hit one thing at a time as we go through the next few weeks. I didn't get any smiles. Is he serious? Don't forget, we got the kids coming tonight. No, we're going to look at this in a vast number of ways over the next few weeks. We're going to build a foundation first. And then as we move through the next few weeks, I want you to invite your friends to come and be a part to hear what we can do as God's people together to grow a healthy church. And I like to use analogies like cars and plants because those are the things that this simple little guy can understand. So bear with me as I use those kinds of things, because as we look into God's Word and we ask ourselves, what do we need to do to grow a healthy church? I assert to you, by the way, oops, sorry, I cut that mic now on. I assert to you that one of the biggest problems that we can have is forgetting the one to whom we need to submit. You see, what we need to remember is first and foremost and fundamentally in all that we do to be God's people and to grow a healthy scriptural church, we need to submit ourselves to Him. We need to recognize that Christ is the head of the church. You know, I've had the opportunity to witness, and as I'm sure you have too, whether or not in person, or maybe you've seen a clip of these things on television, worship services, and I put that in quotations because it was missed in that opportunity for worship as to who the one was that was being worshiped. You see, it turned from being in a service that was worshiping the God above to something that was just made to make everyone else be pleased that we were all there. We actually came there to make ourselves feel better. And that was kind of what it was happening there. And fundamentally, that's not healthy. Now, there's growth there, just like the kudzu vines that cover the automobiles. But it's not the kind of growth when it comes to God's plan that He would have us to be. The kind of folks He would have us to be. He intends for us to come together and worship Him. He created us. He gave us the blue and green world. He gave us the air that we breathe. He gave us the abilities to do the things that we do, to earn what we earn, to live the way we can live, to live righteously before. He gave us all of that, and He gave us decision-making power. Now, we need to be careful with that decision-making power. We need to realize that it's a blessing from God that we have that we can choose to glorify Him. But we need to be watching that devil, because as we said in our text, he's slicker than axle grease when it comes to fooling us and guiding us away. He can guide us away from what we need to be. What we need to do as children of His to be saved according to His word. He can guide us away in worship. He can guide us away in our activities. He can guide us away in a variety of things. Because He doesn't want us to turn our back completely on God. He just wants us to grab other people by the hand and drag them away. Keep a safe distance. We want to do something different here, amen? We want to grow and be healthy and do those things that God would have us to do. You know, we need those who are paying attention to what God would ask us to do in order that we would follow Him to the path of obedience for salvation. And as well, follow Him in our service and our worship. You know, sometimes the devil does a real good job at confusing purpose for worship and feel for worship. He mixes those things up and intermingles them, or he cheapens them, if you will. And either worshiping without purpose or worshiping without feel, we find ourselves like a car that's operating without oil or without gas. You see, one or the other, we're not going to get where we need to go, and we're eventually going to get shut down. Jesus said, but the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Did you see that? There's some equality. There's balance there in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, anybody that's here today that's owned an automobile and operated one on your own knows that cars need gas, right? And we know, by the way, if you've had one very long, a car very long, you know that there's such a thing as bad gas. Now, we sometimes don't know what that is. We just know it makes the car ping and knock and rock and rattle. We don't know necessarily what bad gas, but we know that bad gas exists, right? Now, gas is a liquid. It has a unique smell. But you know, you can take water and put a little gas in it, and it's a liquid. It has a unique smell too. but it won't burn very well. We can look at that liquid and smell it and be confused as to what it's doing, why we're the engine is skipping and sputtering. The problem is we don't have the genuine article. We don't have the genuine article. So how can that be? That can come about when I make being a part of God's family about me. When it's all about me, and I'm thinking all about me, and we run into problems. Because the problem is, we're missing the genuine article. When I make salvation about making it convenient for me, worship, fellowship activities, community involvement, evangelism, all, when I make it about me, the devil's put something new in my gas. Something that I'm calling eye water. Now, not the kind you put in your pupil. I'm talking about watering down my go for God gas with I. With me. Forgetting to put God where he belongs. No matter what the part is, eye water thins out my go for God gas. So the only way I can really be hitting on all cylinders is to run on premium God, if you will. Taking his word in its entirety and in its truth and in its completeness. Now, when you pull up to the gas pump, there is a mid-grade gasoline that's there. You've got, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I call the premium stuff high test. You don't see that anymore anywhere, but that's what happens when folks have been out in the country for a while. There's still old gas stations that would say things like that. And then there's mid-grade, you know, the stuff that's in between. And you know, if we look at the way we behave as Christians, sometimes there would be those that would hold on to God's word in its premium. And then there would be those who would run mid-grade. Well, you know, we don't want to spend all that money. We don't want to give all of ourselves, if you will. We don't want to be completely in. So we'll be mid-grade. Now, that's what a lot of folks do. And then the ones that scare me are the ones that run regular. The Christians that run regular. You follow my progression here? These are the folks that, by the way, they can run great as long as you put some additives in their fuel. You know, those things that entertain them, those things that are about them. But we don't want to be like that. Because even though the lowest grade gas can get our tires turning, when the additives are gone, we sputter and stall. Truth and spirit substitutes and or additives can give us a false sense of running well in our service to God. And you know, if you'll follow me on the car analogy a little bit as well, when we look at oil, that's fundamental to the operation of a gasoline engine. And there's so many different types of oil that we have to go back to the manufacturer's book to see what we need to use. God created us, and here's the owner's manual. And with this owner's manual, we can learn how to do everything in this life we want to do and be successful. Now, I know that there are people out there in this world that make bad decisions that cause a great deal of pain for folks. We can't control the decisions of others. But we can be those who are faithful to him if we'll just hold on to him and not put just any kind of oil in our lives, if you will, but run on that which God recommends. Now today we're going to focus on beginning the foundation for growing a healthy church so that we're not a junkyard covered with kudzu vines. So that we are indeed moving as God's people, going somewhere together. You know, God's word can give us convertible weather no matter what kind of clouds are overhead. Have you ever thought about that? We often refer to the sun, S-O-N, shining on the inside, but God's Word can provide for us convertible weather no matter what happens there. So let's look at God's Word together and see how you and I can begin to take hold, take root, and grow as healthy Christians, and therefore we will grow as a congregation of the Lord's people. Amen? So when we get in our text, we see that Paul is meeting there with the Ephesian church, and he's giving them what he believes to be his last words to them. As it turns out, Paul's actually able to visit them again later, but he didn't think he would ever be able to see them again. So he brings them this message in Acts 20, and he gives them advice on what it takes to have a healthy congregation of the Lord's people. And I believe it would be to our benefit to pay attention to what he tells us there, because as we grow as individuals, as we said before, we'll grow as the Lord's church, and everybody wants to be part of a vibrant body. Amen? Everybody wants to be part of something that is vibrant and something that is growing. And Paul indicates to begin with, we need to watch out. We need to be careful. The English Standard puts it this way: pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now, there's a good purpose. He sacrificed himself for you and I, because he continues, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among yourselves, men will arise, speaking twisted things to draw you away, the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Watch. Watch out, remembering that for 3 years I didn't cease day or night to admonish everyone with tears. Leadership and followers must watch carefully. Watch over ourselves carefully. If we let our car stall because we're running the wrong oil or running fuel additives that don't belong, the vines or the cares of this world will cover us up. So to be free to grow, we need to keep watch. We need to be careful not to allow these things to happen. I need to fill my tank, if you will, reading from God's Word. God's Word is his premium communication. You know, in this idea of watch, God tells us to be careful and to watch. Always be looking out for those things that could trip us up. I tell Caleb every day when he leaves to go to Atlanta to go to school, I said, be careful. Now, that's just a nice general word. Now, here's the thing. What did I tell him a long time ago to be careful means? Watch for the other drivers. Be alert. You pay attention to where you're going and watch where they're going to. As God's people, we need to be those who are careful and that we measure what we're doing by his word, watching out. We want to grow healthy? We need to watch out. We need to be able to discern the weeds from the flowers, if you will. So we need to do that. And the way that we do it is go to the manufacturer's instructions, if you will. God's word, reading those instructions, will tell me then what the gauges mean, if you will. So I can see them and understand, and I can prevent trouble as it comes my way. You know, the English Standard puts this like this for the warning light in verse 30. He says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Now, wolves are indeed fierce animals, but as they sneak up on the flock of sheep, they don't bark when they start down the hill. When they're coming from a distance, they're not barking and carrying on. As a matter of fact, even once they get amongst the flock, they will make very little noise at all and attack the sheep one at a time. Now, folks, we need to help each other, watching our own check engine lights, if you will, and watching those of those around us. I know there's a show on television, I'm trying to remember which it is, and there was someone who was constantly driving with their check engine light on. We need to help and encourage one another when those things are taking place. It could be that someone has fallen for some cheap gas or some cheap oil or some cheap additives and therefore fall into this habit of explaining away what God has given us in His Word. You know, there's some folks this morning who are selling some cheap oil and cheap gas. And here's what I mean by that. They're telling all kinds of tales about what it, the most important thing we need to know is, and that is, what must I do to be saved? They're telling all kinds of tales in regards to that. They've come with some awesome graphics on their package, if you will. All kinds of attention-getting things about how you would feel about this. But we need to know what God has to say about these things so that we can be running right and growing as His people. Because what they're selling is recycled stuff that was never good to begin with. Some would avoid this idea of what must I do to be saved because they don't want to build their foundation on God because it might be a little uncomfortable, it might be a little inconvenient, it might be a little this or it might be a little that. So they avoid the question altogether because in reality they haven't got it clear in their own minds. So they don't even know that God has given us these things, although they may be able to quote us all the books of the Bible and still can't tell us exactly what God said concerning these things. There would be those this day who would not believe that we can do anything about our condition before God and teach that. That it's good that you're here, but God has just randomly selected people. Now, He says that He's not a respecter of persons. And the predestination that we read of has to do with a group of folks who have decided that they would follow His plan, not some random select. And then there would be others who would say, well, just pray this prayer with me and you'll be saved. Where do you find that in the owner's manual? Where do you find that in there? It's not there. Oh, there were some that would kind of lead to it and point to it. They're selling us cheap oil and gas, what they're trying to do. We'll get into that in just a moment. But there's no sinner's prayer in that Bible anywhere. You know, what difference does a prayer make if we don't believe in Jesus anyway? You see, that's what we need to be doing. When we answer this question, what must I do? Paul gives us a really good account here beginning in Romans chapter 10. If we're going to build our foundation, here's where we go. We're building it on what must I do to be saved. And Paul tells us in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, what is it that we need to hear anyway? What is it that we need to know? We need to receive some sort of message. Well, when we back up in the chapter a little bit, we go up to verse 9, we see it there. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shout is the term having the potential or can be saved. So we confess that we believe what we have heard. Jesus tells us in John 8:24, except you believe that I am He who, the Son of the living God, ye shall die in your sin. So we see that we need to confess that we believe what we have heard and we can be saved. Is that it? Well, let's go down to verse 13 while we're there, chapter 10. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the language is a little different here between verse 9 and verse 13. The original language gives us the idea that someone can or has the potential to be saved in verse 9. But verse 13 tells us that calling on the name of the Lord will bring salvation. So how do I do that? How do I call on the name of the Lord? Do I use a phone? Do I pray a prayer? How do I do that? Again, God has answered the questions that we have. When Paul was bringing us the story of his salvation and conversion, we find the answer to that question in his explanation. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he said that Ananias said to him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. By the way, I'm sorry, I left that phrase out. Calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is the washing away of sin. There's nothing magic about the water, if you will. Peter makes that clear in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You see, it's not about the water, it's about obedience. Somebody said something to me earlier this week, said, "Well, that's a Naaman thing. Look him up." Baptism is calling on the name of the Lord for salvation by our obedience to him. And God said that. That makes it so, whether I believe it and obey it or not. Twisting God's plan of salvation, though, is not the only cheap oil. And we're going to start talking about that over the next couple of weeks. How do we grow as a healthy church? How do we grow as healthy Christians, except that we can recognize the fuel additives and we can recognize the cheap oil and that we can stick to the purity of God's Word? Today, as we have spent our time together, we have focused on what God's Word says we must do in order to be saved. Now, go with me back to verse 31. Acts 20 and verse 31. We're told to watch. You know, the best translation of that to me is be alert to those who are going to try to water down what God has said, to excuse it, to make it convenient for us. What did we say to begin with? When we come to God, it's about Him. He created us all and created everything that we have. It is not about us. We are part of God's story, not the other way around. Now, with that in mind, we look at these things and understand that we need to be watchful. Be alert. We know what God has told us we need to do to be saved today, which is a great place to put our foundation to begin with. So with these things in mind, we've studied from the manufacturer's manual, if you will, what we need to do. So in this matter of salvation, we can determine the weeds and the flowers, if you will. In our cloudiest of days, we can bloom beautifully in obedience to the mighty God. Now, today we've not spent too much time on the cheap gas that affects the spirit. But there are things out there that can have negative effects on a person's spirit. Friend, when those things come into our lives, as a Christian, it can steal away our love, our passion, our participation. All those things can be robbed from us. And if you, as a Christian today, recognize that that's happened to you, there's no time like the present to make a change. But as someone today who's looked at God's Word and seen what we need to do in order to be saved, maybe today is the day that you need to obey Him fully. With all of what we've studied together today, my question is this: why tarriest thou? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?